Good evening. Welcome to our Bible study and week three. We're still in the series of And God Said. And this evening we will speak about lesson number three, which is the divine principle of growth. Now, the book of Genesis reveals much of what we know about the nature and character of God. It is opening narrative about the creation of the world, serves as a springboard for understanding four divine principles God established and how we should live out those principles today. God established that living things would grow and multiply. Similarly, Jesus calls us today to grow spiritually and to help others to grow along the journey of becoming his disciples. And in this lesson, we'll discuss principles of spiritual growth and how to help others grow in God. But before we do that, let's just do a quick review of the previous lessons. Biblical doctrines typically tie back to the truth set forth by God's divine principle as early as creation. Four key principles established in creation apply not only to the natural realm, but also the spiritual. The first principle is the principle of separation, and it's found in Genesis 1, 3 to 4, which we have learned. The second one is principle of sowing and reaping, Genesis 1, verse 11. And this week, right now, we will look into the principle of growth, Genesis 1, 26 to 31. And the principle of community would be the last one, which we will look into next week. Sowing and reaping is in a spiritual sense, is about doing the right things for the right reason so we can have the right result. These are three main considerations in the sowing and reaping, three principles. The first one, you cannot plant one thing and hope for something else. That doesn't happen. You cannot avoid the planting process and still expect a harvest. So you can't reap what you did not plant. And the third one, you cannot sow today and reap tomorrow because reaping needs time. And let's look into the principle of growth. In Genesis 1, verse 26 to 31, it says this, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the bird in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animal, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves around on the ground." Then God said, "I will give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. Verse 31, God saw all that he made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Genesis 2, verse 15, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." Perhaps in our contemporary culture has a flawed view of growth and maturity. Critics would suggest that young adults today have less sense of drive and responsibility than the previous generation. Whether that generational assessment is true or not, growth is a reality of life that we must embrace. Living things cannot exist without the process of growing and maturing. But what is growth? Growth is the process by which an organism increases in size and develops its characteristics. In human, growth is the development of the body and mind from infancy to adulthood. It is a complex process that involves many different factors, such as genetics, environment, and nutrition. Now, these factors, genetics, speaks about heritage, speak about genes and the DNA that we inherit from our parents. Environment refers to the surrounding or external factors in which we grow. Now, these factors include physical components like temperature, light, moisture, as well as biotic factors like the presence of other organisms or predators or availability of nutrients. So the environment plays a crucial role in determining the optimal condition for growth and survival of organisms. And the third one is the nutrients. They're basically substances that provide energy to support the structural formation of cells and facilitate various biological processes. In other words, nutrients basically food and water. Nutrients can include carbohydrates, proteins, fat, vitamins, minerals, and water. Each nutrient has specific functions and requirements, and their availability directly influences the growth and development of living organisms. So those three factors are very, very important for growth. Now, even though these factors are applicable in the natural, it is also applicable in the spiritual. Let's have a look with genetics. To truly grow spiritually into our destinies and callings in the Lord, we need to first understand who we are. We need to understand our spiritual DNA, whose we are in God. When we know that we are the children of God, bearing His image, we would start acting and behaving like our Father, growing into spiritual maturity. Genesis 1:26-27 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness.'" 27, "So God created mankind in His own image, in the image of God. He created them, male and female, He created them." Ephesians 4:24, "And to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." So, when we are born again, we have become the children of God. We take on His DNA, we've become like Him, and take on His holiness and His righteousness. And only then we can truly grow into the destiny and the calling of God. The second one, environment. We can flourish spiritually when we are in the right environment. Our environment is critical to not only our spiritual growth, but also survival. In Matthew 13:3-8, Jesus teaches us the multitudes about the parable of the sower. Let me read it. "Then He told them many things in the parable, saying, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up.'" Bad environment. "Some fell on a rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root." Bad environment. "Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants." Again, bad environment. "Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. Whosoever has ears, let them hear." This one is in a good environment, in a good soil. So the conclusion, without a conducive environment, growth would not be optimal or even possible. So if you plant a tropical fruit like mango trees, tropical fruit trees like mangoes or guava trees here in Canberra, which is not a tropical region, chances are they would not thrive, right? It would be too cold in winter, too much frost. And similarly, if we position ourselves in an ungodly environment, whether it be among the wrong group of people or the wrong places, doing the wrong thing or what have you, it would be very challenging for us to grow spiritually. Proverbs 13:13, verse 20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. So be very careful with whom you choose to surround yourself. Be careful who you let to speak into your lives. These relationships can either accelerate or hinder our spiritual growth. Surround yourselves with people who would encourage you to grow into the Lord's calling, into the maturity of your spiritual life. And I'm not suggesting for a second here that we should disassociate ourselves from non-believers or the environments where it's ungodly, because how can we reach and minister to the lost if we're not in the midst of them? But what I'm saying is we should be very vigilant to take care of ourselves, to make sure that we would associate ourselves and take in from the right environments, the nutrients from the right environment, and so that we can avoid those negativity in the environment that is not right for our spiritual growth. Last one is the nutrition. As we learned before, nutrition can be obtained through substances that we consume, pretty much what we eat and drink. Those substances provide energy to support the formation of cells and facilitate various biological processes in our body that in turn causes growth. Now, for example, I used to work for a marketing company that represented Médecins Sans Frontières, which is Doctors Without Borders. And I learned from the case study that a lot of people, a lot of kids in a third world country, they were malnourished. They're pretty much just bare bones and skins, and they're just awaiting pretty much helplessly. And so Médecins Sans Frontières, they created this little packed food called Plumpy Nut. It's basically a portion food that is packed with nutrients and minerals and all the stuff that is required by kids to grow properly. And as they applied, as they distributed it, and all the kids that received it, within few months' times, they became normal kids. They gained weight, they gained their health, and they started recovering from all the sicknesses that they have. And so it just shows that the right nutrients is essential for growth. It's non-negotiable. In Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It says we are blessed when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, because God will satisfy us. We have to keep in mind that we have to put our mind in the right place, in the right thing. We need to hunger and thirst after the things of God. John 6, 32 to 35, Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then he said to them, Lord, always give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Only Jesus can satisfy our deepest desires. Many people are trying to fill their spiritual bellies with the junk food of this world. Riches, knowledge, position, influence, respect, fame, all of these things. In and of itself, they're not bad, but we must be mindful to not make these things our passion, our desires, and our end goals, as these things can never satisfy the hunger and thirst that we have. They might be able to ease our craving for a time, but they will leave us craving for more and more. Jesus is the only one that can truly satisfy our desire. He is the only one who can fill the void in our spirit. He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Amen. I'm thankful for him. First Peter 2, verse 2 says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Psalm 119, verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Wonderful scripture. Growth in the natural realm requires time and proper nutrition. Similarly, in the spiritual realm, growing spiritually takes time and requires feeding ourselves a healthy diet. We must consistently invest time in personal devotion day by day. Over a period of time, this investment results in growth and maturity as we know Jesus more and more. We also grow spiritually as we learn more about God, feeding ourselves His Word. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is very important for us to be able to divide the word of God, to discern it, and to interpret it rightly, and not taking it out of context. And there are no shortcuts to spiritual growth. Growth will come from the basic principles of investing time in our walk with God, feeding our spiritual life with the right things. Let's go back to our opening text in Genesis. After creating humanity, God said to them to be fruitful and multiply in Genesis 1:28. While the concept of multiplying in the passage indicates reproduction, the concept that precedes this is being fruitful. The concept of being fruitful indicates a process of maturity. To put it plainly, you cannot be fruitful before you become mature. Maturity is a prerequisite of fruitfulness. It is necessary for an organism to reach a certain size and develop the necessary characteristics to function properly. For example, a seed starts to germinate and produce a shoot. It will not be able to produce flowers straight away in that stage of being a shoot. Likewise, an animal needs to grow to a certain size to be able to function as an adult and then reproduce. You won't see puppies running around reproducing. It doesn't happen that way. It is biologically impossible. Their bodies are not fully developed to support reproduction process. The same is true with our spiritual fruitfulness. It is impossible for us to produce spiritual fruit if we are spiritually immature. Growth is a gift and a necessity. We must grow and mature spiritually to bear fruit. Let's look into 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Apostle Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I become a man, I gave up childish way. It shows stages of maturity. When we grow in the Lord, we leave all those childish things in our lives. When Jesus say, you will know them by their fruit. What does that mean? What does fruit mean? Jesus gave the illustration of grapevines and fig trees. When we see grapevines, we expect them to contain grapes in season. We also expect fig trees to produce figs. A produce farmer who notices one of his fruit trees not bearing any fruit will cut it down. It is useless for him. Likewise, we would not come to a field of thistles and expect to harvest fruit. Thistles and thorns bushes can never produce fruit because of their nature, their DNA. It is impossible. They have no capacity to produce anything but thorns. In our lives, every word, every action is fruit from our hearts. When I was in the world, I cursed, I cheated, I lied. I did all these things because what was in my heart? Those sins are the fruit of being produced from an evil heart. So bad hearts produce bad fruit. In Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. When we repent of our sin and are born again of water and of spirit, he gives us new hearts with new desires. As we grow and mature in Jesus, we begin to produce good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Our attitude, our actions, our words, our perspective change as we walk in fellowship with the Holy Ghost. When our hearts change, our fruit change. Amen. Furthermore, God intended for Adam and Eve to care for the garden in Genesis 2:15. The concept of tending to responsibilities also speaks of maturity. God's kingdom depends on each of us growing and maturing to a point that we can care for others. This principle of growth indicates spiritual areas of discipleship. We should be growing in our personal spiritual life and reach a point to help others to grow spiritually and become disciples. It is also crucial that we weed out of our lives anything that hinders growth. It is very important, as we read before the parable of the sower, that the thorns choke the wheat. We must be transparent with Jesus about our shortcomings if we is to perfect his will in us and help us to grow. And as we do this, we can learn to let go of the negative things that stunt our growth, whether it be wrong attitude, a work of the flesh, or impure motives, selfishness, etc., and grow in him with evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. And as we grow spiritually, we will find ourselves developing a burden to reach the world around us. We will find ourselves longing for spiritual children. We would have the transformed heart that reflect the heart of God, who would want to see other people reached and saved. A key mark of our maturity as a disciple of Jesus Christ is our burden and commitment to disciple others. Jesus commanded his disciple to disciple others. In Mark 16:15 to 16 says, "And he said unto them," this is Jesus, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." This process of intentionally discipling others is a necessity for the kingdom of God to grow and for God's mission to be fulfilled. And I'm not sure if you have ever noticed how much emphasis Jesus placed upon multiplication in his ministry. His first act as Messiah was to select 12 people into his life he could invest in. He multiplied the wine at the marriage feast at his first miracle. He multiplied the loaves and the fish to feed the masses. He sent 70 disciples out in pairs to perform miracles and share the gospel. He poured out his spirit to 120 people on the day of Pentecost, and they immediately gleaned a 30,000 soul harvest. Jesus desires to multiply his kingdom, and he plans to use us to do it. However, we must be willing to partner with him in this process. There is no level of Christian maturity that Jesus is wanting for us to reach before he uses us to reach others. And as soon as you are saved, as soon as you know Jesus and you're born again, you are endued with power to be a witness for him. No matter how long or how briefly you've been walking with the Lord, you have the same opportunity to tell others about Jesus. If you want to produce healthy disciples with a strong spiritual foundation, then we must be committed in growing spiritually in our lives. So I hope this lesson helps and encourages you to continue to grow and mature in your spiritual walk. I pray that God will place that burden in your heart to be more intentional in reaching out to people, in witnessing to people, and bring them in and disciple them to walk closer to Jesus. And you yourself would continue to walk closer in Jesus and to continue to grow into maturity spiritually. Amen. Let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love and the mercy and the kindness that you've shown us. We thank you that we have such a patient God and Father in heaven. Lord, we're not perfect, but we know that we're in a process of growth, that you continue to lead us and guide us, Lord, to grow us into the men and women that is of your intention, of your purpose. And we just pray for every single one who is listening to this lesson tonight, that you would bless them, Lord, that you would continue to guide them and lead them, Lord, to fulfill your purpose and your calling in their lives. We give you all the glory, and we pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.